Welcome to another edition of the Daily Tap Presents. How's everybody doing? I am your host, Charlie, back at it again in another day of quarantine. Hope you all are doing well. Obviously, the rules of stay at home are in effect, according to Governor Evers. Golf is included in that. Golf courses are banned. I don't really understand why. I guess because there was a large swath of people, but I feel like golf, if you put the rules around it, it can work. But I think the governor wanted to make a point. It'll be enacted for a month unless something changes. So that pretty much means your boy and a lot of others are going to be home for the next month. I hope that all of you are still standing. I hope that you still have a job. And if you don't, keep your head up. I'm happy to talk about any of it. I mean, you've heard the podcast before. I've went through some unemployment in my life. So don't be shy. Please feel free to DM me. Feel free to reach out in some forms. My email, snowtap12@gmail.com. I'd be happy to talk to you, talk about it. It's not a fun process, and I think I hope that maybe what comes of this is the stigma gets broken a little bit of talking about unemployment, and just the more and more people that I've seen getting laid off, not just here in the state, but elsewise, it's large. It's a large community, so I hope that more people are willing to talk about it. All right, that's it for me from a non-sports side of things. I just did want to mention that. I know that we are trying to keep these evergreen, and that's what I'm trying to do, but I wanted to sneak that in there. Should have snuck it in at the end of the show versus the beginning, but your boy sometimes forgets his podcast rules. All right, the topic today features all sports. So we've done a lot of football, and we're going to be back on football on Friday talking wide receivers, so look forward to that. And we've done just a little bit of basketball. We did the hypothetical tournament for the Milwaukee Bucks. This one will cover every sport in the game. It will not just cover the Wisconsin sports that are outside of the realm. It's going to cover everything. I hope that you are ready for this. I hope that you are going to enjoy it and have fun. So there was a tweet by a man basically saying, if the CDC told you that you could watch your worst sports moment from your favorite team and you would cure the quarantine, or you would basically cure the virus, would what game would you pick? It wouldn't be would you do it, it's what game would you pick. And I saw that tweet on Saturday night, and I was like, I could do a whole show on literally every one of my sports teams. So I think it's only appropriate that we start with the teams who haven't won a championship: the Milwaukee Brewers, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Marquette Golden Eagles, and then the Wisconsin Badger football team. And then from there, we'll end with the Packers, because the Packers have a championship. So we don't have that. I cannot speak to Badger basketball because I'm not a Badger basketball fan. Although I think if you were to ask 99 out of 100 Badger fans, they would say watching the 2015 national championship game against Duke. That to me would probably be every one of theirs answers. If there's a Badger fan that has another example, feel free to jump in here. But starting with the Brewers, if I had to endure one Brewer game to watch, it would probably be... So I was debating whether it would be Game 7 or Game 5. I think Game 5 was Game 3, or 4, excuse me, Jesus, where the Brewers lost in extra innings, where it was a 13-inning game. It was 1-1. It was brutal, to say the least. But Game 7 obviously was in Miller Park. The game took place on a Saturday night. I remember well. The 13-inning game was tough, though. The Brewers got a 2-0 lead. They could have easily extended that lead out to a 2-3-1 lead and kind of took a commanding lead of this series, and instead they could not. Game four is way up there. That was tough. I remember riding that into the late night as I'm back from London earlier that year. It's crazy what a difference a couple of years makes, right? But the game seven was brutal, man. I mean, Josh Hader pitched three innings, did what he could, but the runs given up by Ulysses Chacin early on and then Jeremy Jeffries were brutal. Then the two home runs that both of them gave up. I mean, the Cody Bellinger dinger, two-run dinger after Christian Yelich had hit a home run in the bottom of the first inning was, it's kind of, I don't say it's forgotten, but it's definitely something that you don't want to reflect on. That game, I think I've kind of buried. I mean, I remember the Yaziel Puig three-run homer, but that game stayed 2-1. It was an absolute duel, and then Yaziel Puig hits a three-run home run, and Jeremy Jeffries had two outs, and all he had to do was get Yaziel Puig out, and he did not. It was a 1-1 count, and he delivered gave up a home run to Puig, and the Brewers would never get a chance, man. They never got that chance to get back in. They kind of went quietly as the game went on and as Kershaw came into the game to finish off the Milwaukee Brewers. That one sucked. That one was not fun. And you do think that this is a little bit of revisionist history, but in a lot of ways, 2018 probably was one of the Brewers' better chances to win the World Series. Now with the Astros, I'm almost kind of glad the Brewers didn't win that series, because if they would have, we would have just talked about how we were cheated out of a World Series, and it kind of would be a gross look. I mean, no one would have cared, right? Because that's what Dodger fans are doing. But at the same time, it's kind of annoying at this point, right? So the Milwaukee Bucks, I think you have two choices. You could either choose 2001 when the Bucks lost in Game 7 to the Philadelphia 76ers, or one of the games in 2018. For me, my choice is pretty simple. The Bucks were down 2-2, Game 5, May 23rd of 2019. I watched the game in Sacramento at a Packer bar, only to see the Milwaukee Bucks lose 105-299, a brutal loss. The Bucks got up early. They were up 10 in the first quarter. The Raptors would slowly come back, and then in the fourth quarter, they put away the Bucks, led by Fred VanVleet's 21 points. He had 7 threes. Kawhi Leonard, 35 points, along with 5 threes made. In a lot of ways, that felt like the series. It was a little bit of a death sentence, because the Bucks could have easily had house money going back to Toronto, and if Toronto forced the Game 7, well, so be it, but the Bucks would have had the advantage, and then they didn't. And so our Bucks lost that night, and then they lost in Game number 6. Game number 6, it will always have a weird thing for me, because my guy Seth got married that night. I did not watch much of that game, probably. I rewatched it, you know, a couple days later, but it still didn't have the effect. It didn't have the disappointment and depression, because had we been home, that was the Saturday of Memorial Day, we would have been so fucking drunk, like having a great time, just cheering on the Bucks, and that I think would have made it a lot more depressing. But since I was not in that sort of environment, I will say Game 5. I also got into a massive fight with my girlfriend after that game, where she was mad that I was upset about the Bucks losing and carried it over to dinner, because we went out to dinner after the game because it was cool. It was actually, that was like the only cool thing about it, was because we were on the West Coast, the game was over at like 8:30. So we're like, all right, we'll go have dinner now. And I carried all my emotions to dinner, and my girlfriend was not pleased with me in the slightest. She's like, why? she's like, you just have dinner with Mitch then if you're going to be this crabby. And I was like, fuck, maybe I will. I mean, that to me sounds great. Mitch and I just bitching, eating like junk food and talking about Milwaukee sports. That's kind of up our alley. That's what Mitch and I do. The misery conversations I have with Mitch Ross are a podcast in themselves. I've definitely thought about taping some. He's told me I cannot. I've never gained permission. We're going to have to get him more drunk for those ones. Marquette has had a lot of bad losses in the regular season, honestly, more so than NCAA tournament. I mean, there have been some fun tournament moments, but the 2003 year was a real kick in the dick. Think about having to watch that game again. Syracuse beat Marquette that day, 55-239. Let's remember a couple things here. Marquette was a 3 seed. They came back from 10 down against Davidson in the final 3 minutes with a game-winning layup by Vander Blue. That's what won them the first round. The second round, they played Butler in an awesome back-and-forth game. The Marquette-Butler matchup, that game was one of the better games I've ever watched. I watched it at the BBC. I had a great time. That was an excellent college basketball game. Then, as Marquette goes to the Sweet 16, they're facing number 2 seed Miami. Myron Metcalf wrote that Marquette was one of the worst Sweet 16 teams in the group, and they went and ran shit against Miami, and they were dominant against that Miami team. So then they're playing Syracuse that year, and now Syracuse was in Marquette's conference. Marquette had played them twice and beat them at Marquette. Marquette had beat them. Syracuse got a better seed because they were able to get all the way to the Big East tournament. But yes, Marquette beat them 71-73. But then when they got to the final or the semifinal game or the Elite Eight, excuse me, I can't fucking talk apparently, Marquette fell short. Syracuse's defense was fantastic throughout that entire tournament as they held California to 60 points, they held Indiana to 50 points, and they held Marquette to 39. They had trouble with Michigan in the Final Four game, but that game was down to the wire. So Marquette losing to Syracuse really wasn't a bad loss per se, but man, was I convinced that Marquette was going to win this game. I really thought that Marquette was going to get it done, and they just were ice cold. Nobody could make a goddamn thing. Devontae Gardner did his best with 14 points. Vander Blue had 14 points, but he was 3 of 15 from the field. He was awful in this game, as was Junior Cadugan. Marquette was 3 of 25 from the field. Jameel Wilson went 1 for 9 in this game. Todd Mayo, 0 for 5. They only made 12 free throws in this game, or 12 field goals in this game. Marquette shot 22% overall in this game. They were 9 of 28 from the two point. That's crazy. I haven't looked at this stat. I haven't looked at this box score probably since 2013. And my God, this would have been an awful game to watch. This might be the number one. We'll rank these at the end because why not, right? Let's have a little fun with it while we're here, because I definitely think they're worth ranking, and I think this Marquette loss might take the cake. As for the Wisconsin Badgers, they've had a fair share of losses, but I would not pick a bowl game for this. I would not pick a bowl game. I don't think they've had a bowl game that really reflects it. The game I would actually pick, and now Wisconsin did get revenge against Michigan State this year, but when Kirk Cousins threw the Hail Mary to beat the Badgers, and it was 37-31 in mid-October, the Badgers were number 4 in the country, and they lost in an absolute classic. They also came back. Remember, the Badgers were down 14 points in that game. In the fourth quarter, Russell Wilson leads engineers two scoring drives, one with a 22-yard run, the other a 2-yard pass to Monty Ball, and then Kirk Cousins finds Keith Nichol on a Hail Mary with no time remaining. If you told me that Kirk Cousins would be the NFL quarterback that he is today, I would not have believed you in 2011. That also, too, was like everything kind of fell back to earth. I could write a book, and I probably will never, so don't hold me to it, but I could write a book about how the fall of 2011, for a lot of us in at age 23 at that time, was maybe the best time of our lives. I was a senior in college. It was my last year. I had everything going for me from a relationship perspective, from a sports perspective, from a school perspective. I had this great new job. Like, I've argued that that was my peak. Now, I've met a much better girlfriend who I've been with now for 5.5 years, and that part has been a lot better. But I don't know if I can ever get better than that fall with sports. You had an undefeated Packer team. You had an undefeated Badger team. You had a Brewers team that was in the NLCS playing the rival Cardinals, and they had home field advantage. There was nothing better. But right around this time was when things started to come apart at the seams. The Brewers were starting to lose games, and then the Badgers lose on back-to-back Hail Marys. They lost to Michigan State this week, and then the following week, they lose to Ohio State in similar fashion, 33-29, as Braxton Miller finds Devin Smith with 20 seconds left in another classic where the Badgers did have to come behind, but they did go ahead in that game only to have Braxton Miller find Devin Smith with 20 seconds left. The Badgers would go to the Rose Bowl from there, but man, oh man, that Badger team was probably the best one to ever, I don't know if it ever do it, but that Badger team, man, was all the talent they had with Russell Wilson, Ball, Jared Aberderis. I mean, they had a stock team. Nick Toon was an NFL player. He didn't obviously have that much of an NFL career. James White was on that team. I mean, they had everything you could have won. Chris Borland, also Bo Allen. I mean, the names on names on names from that Badger team, and the fact that they didn't even get to the playoff is truly disappointing. I think the playoff was around in 2011, wasn't it? I'm not sure. It might be before the playoff, the year of the playoff, but man, that Badger team was good. They were excellent. All right, let's wrap up this show, and we will wrap it up with the Green Bay Packers, and then we'll talk about how I would rank the games in the order. Packers have a ton of choices. You could choose 2014. You can choose the infamous Super Bowl loss. You could choose the Arizona game. It's all about what, if put it into context. For me, the one that I would say is the 2007 NFC Championship game. You're in Lambeau Field. It is freezing. It is one of the coldest games ever in football history. It is ideal Packer weather. It is exactly why you play the games in the frozen tundra. It is all set up for the Packers, and they lost the six-seeded Giants. I remember my buddy Mike and I celebrating that the Giants beat the Cowboys the week before when I was staying over at his house, and we were just celebrating. We're like, yes, like they're going to do this. This is going to happen. We're going to go back to the Super Bowl. We're going to take on the undefeated Patriots. Favre, you know, gets his last shot at glory. All of this stuff. And if you think if it would have happened, I know we talked about Brady Rodgers on a podcast, a few days ago. You can go back and listen to that if you haven't. If Favre gets the Super Bowl, I think that we do not have what happened in 2008, what happened in 2009. I think that part of history is completely written out. Now, who knows if that changes the Aaron Rodgers mentality and Aaron Rodgers
still feels like someone's looking over his shoulder, because who knows? Maybe rumors would have swollen that, hey, Favre's interested in coming back. Favre's seeing the Packers struggle, thinking about a comeback. That could have completely changed the dynamics. We do not know that part. That, you know, when you mess with history, there is that butterfly effect, right? But Favre throws the interception. He has the falling out with Mike McCarthy. And that game, and that's the other part of that game, is it went to overtime. The Packers had the ball. There were a lot of things that would have led to the Packers winning that game, and it didn't happen. That game was truly depressing. So if I had to rank those five games, if I had to pick those five games, how would I rank it? I'd probably put the Bucs, you have to watch these in order, painful to least painful. I'd probably start with the Bucs. I think the Bucs are just so fresh because of how good they are this season. And just that would bring back so many bad memories. And that would, to me, be the most painful. I think I would follow that up with the Marquette game just from a pure boredom perspective. That Marquette team isn't as well liked as some of the others. I mean, that 2012 team with Jay Crowder and all the guys was a really well liked squad. Now, the 2013 team didn't have that same feel. Now, Devontae Gardner was there, but having to watch a team score only 12 baskets in a game would be very tough. And then I would do Brewers Game 7 and would wrap it up with Packers 2007 and finish off with the Badger Hail Mary to end it. And I would, at that point, probably say no mas. I don't know how many you could watch just straight on. I would need a good amount of booze. If they'd probably be like, you couldn't get drunk, which I get. So I would just need like casual drinks throughout these five games. And then I would also need like really good food. Because if I had like really good food and I'm watching this, I could be like, man, just this, that. I mean, it could make for a great blog post, great podcast. I will not myself go and watch those old games because I am not a glutton for punishment. If it meant making everything go back to what it was tomorrow, I would do it. I would queue it up tonight and I would watch it through the evening. But that's just not the world we're living in. All right, Tappers, be back tomorrow with another edition. Tomorrow, not really a Wisconsin podcast. It's going to be a little bit different. It's going to be involving NCAA tournament stuff. I think you're going to like it. All right, take care. Bye.